Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Sisterly is a supplement brand set up by three women, Aoife Matthews, Jennifer O'Connell and Louise O'Riordan, who walked away from corporate careers to not only energise women with their brand, but to start a movement when it comes to the research gap in women's health. And two of the trio join me in studio now, Aoife and Jennifer. You're both very welcome. So how do the three of you know each other originally?
So Aoife and I were introduced through my older sister, and we were chatting about all things Sisterly, and I had a great friend living in LA called Louise O'Riordan, and I said, we should really get on to Louise. I knew her from my time in New York. Aoife came out with the immortal line, I know Louise, we used to live together in London.
Yeah, so myself and Louise, I lived in London for many years working in banking, and Louise actually shared an apartment with me for a while. So, but I hadn't really seen her for some time because she was living in LA. And then through Jenny and through Jenny's sister, we all reconnected, which is fabulous.
So you two had already been having a discussion about possibly setting up a supplement brand. I mean, what was the seed of that discussion?
Well, to be honest, it was more, this was during COVID. And we were all, you know, we'd reconnected. We were all chatting about our health and how we support each other, I suppose, mainly with immunity. But then also, you know, I was in my mid-40s coming into perimenopause. And I had just done a qualification as a female health and wellness coach. And so became very aware of, you know, that we should be supporting our bodies. And we started this conversation about, like, what supplements should we be taking, knowing that food doesn't do it all. And it really led from there. You know, I was based in Madrid at the time. Jenny was in Dublin. Louise was in LA. And we started delving more into female health and the lack of product that's out there, the lack of research that's done. And it really led on from there.
And did you really walk away from your jobs to do this, or was that starting to come anyway? I think everybody in the pandemic was like, what am I doing with my life? Was it part of that too?
So I was working as a barrister, and there isn't much time in the day to do anything else. But during the pandemic, things obviously slowed down. And I think had it not been for the pandemic, I wonder would we have ever gotten the momentum going that we managed to achieve during that time. And Aoife went full time first in the business and was working for about a year full time. And then I joined her in July of 23. I left the bar, which was a huge step, a scary step.
And the whole thing must have been scary because I'm really fascinated. Supplements is a hugely saturated market. How did you get over the hump of how can we do this? There's already so many people doing it already. That fascinates me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people did say that. You know, it is. There's a lot of supplements out there. Why would you try and go into that market? But, you know, there's a lot of supplements out there, but it's such an overwhelming market. And yet people are still asking, our friends were saying, what should we take? What's good? What's bad? I had a whole shelf of supplements that I wasn't actually taking. You know, you hear get recommendations from social media, from friends, whatever. You buy into all this stuff and then you don't actually take it because maybe it's capsules or you're taking too much or, you know, you're busy. And then things don't work and they gather dust. And, you know, Jenny was the same. Louise was the same. We found so many of our friends were the same that it wasn't, you know, they didn't know if supplements were working. There's such a, I don't know, they didn't know what brands to trust. And we felt, look, if we can't find something that works for us as women, why don't we go out and see if we can make something?
So you were going completely into the unknown. You were 3 years in development. I mean, that's huge.
And that took us, well, I suppose we were probably a bit naive. We thought we would come to market sooner. We didn't realise how complicated it was. But the most important thing for us was, you know, what we say this to you, but it wasn't to don't worry that we didn't actually develop it or we didn't formulate it ourselves. You know, you wouldn't trust a banker, a barrister and a brand developer to develop your supplement. So the most important thing for us was bringing on a really crack team of doctors, scientists and female health experts. So that's what we did. And that took us, you know, time to get the right people on board.
And was that when you started to become aware of the research gap when it comes to women's health, or were you already well versed in that?
Well, I think through the coaching that I had done or the training that I did, I became very well aware of it then. And then when we started all looking into it and doing further research, surveying women, you know, as to what their needs were, it became very clear that the statistics are shocking. And I think it really gets our goat up, you know, that there's so little there for women. You know, less than 5% of all healthcare money is spent on female-specific issues. Yet more women are prone to cardiac arrest. More women are prone to Alzheimer's. More, you know, we have PMS. You know, there's so many stats out there that where women suffer more, yet the research just isn't there.
Yeah, some of the stats would really frighten you, wouldn't they? I mean, this the idea that the ingredients that are in Viagra were found to have been really effective with endometriosis symptoms, which is massive. Women wait an average of 9 years to get a diagnosis, and it can be hugely debilitating on their quality of life and their fertility and beyond. And yet it was decided to funnel it towards Viagra instead. And I'm not saying erectile dysfunction isn't important and shouldn't be tackled as well as, but when it's an either or, the male issue is often favoured. And that's a lot to take on, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that the idea that, you know, there's 19% of men who suffer from erectile dysfunction, and then there's, you know, there's five times more spend on research into that area than on menstrual issues, which affect 80% of women. It's just wild. It makes no sense at all. And I think that that's why we are really passionate about this. And the whole endometriosis piece is huge for us as well. And, you know, PCOS, you know, the time of the month, ignoring our hormone cycle is so stupid. We need to, you know, look specifically at what the female body needs and find tailored solutions for the female body. And that's what we're all about at Sisterly.
Because we've been told that to take part in clinical trials is more challenging because we have a menstrual cycle and because, so therefore we have fluctuating hormones. So it's harder to get a direct read, and there is a chance of us getting pregnant. And to be on a clinical trial, say with medication, there could be implications for the fetus, and that is understandable. But it's a challenge, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. You know, the decision has just been made, so we won't really do it. And again, I don't think that's good enough.
And I think it was 1994, they had to introduce legislation in the US to make it compulsory that you have women in clinical trials, because it had become so the norm to leave them out of clinical trials because of just what you're describing. So that's led to a huge bias in the research in terms of our understanding of what dosages suit women or what pharma, you know, how it impacts the female body. And I think you have to recognise we're 50% of the population. How these things impact us is as important as anybody else. And proactive steps need to be taken to ensure that the impact on women is understood. We've worked with an amazing lady called Dr. Lisa Ryan from the Atlantic Technological University, and she speaks internationally on concussion syndrome and how it impacts women differently, because the concussion protocols are all built around men and the symptoms suffered by men, whereas women suffer very different symptoms when they're concussed, but they're just as likely to be concussed on the ski slopes or in a camogie match or in a sporting accident. But we don't. So when somebody runs onto the pitch, they're going off a protocol that's all built around the male response to concussion. It's the same around heart attacks. You know, women experience a heart attack in a different way to men. They can experience nausea instead of that tightness in the chest. But yet, in every A&E room and in every film, you see people clutching their chests when they're having a heart attack. So it's understanding those differences. We talk about Dr. Stacey Sims. She has this great book called Roar. And her phrase, which we love, is women are not small men. So understanding that piece of the puzzle is so important. And that's why we really wanted to focus on female health specifically, rather than a one size fits all.
Yeah, and I mean, that small men piece, aside from looking into specialised women's issues, there have been so many ramifications, from the seatbelt being set up for men to dosages of medication, having women falling asleep at the wheel because we've been assumed to be small men. It really does boggle the mind. So this has become more than a supplement brand. This is a bit of a movement. So you're planning events, you have a podcast in the works, because you want to really start this conversation and move the dial a little bit.
Yeah. So we do lots of female health events, phenomenal events where we get women out, and we love, you know, getting them out doing yoga or running or cycling. We did a phenomenal, again, I give credit to Jenny for this, we did a phenomenal Sisterly Spin, which was a cycling event for women. And, you know, we had, I think, 50 women there. We went off for a cycle through Wicklow. And we had Annalise Murphy and Sonia Sullivan and Becky Woods talking about their stories. And it's just phenomenal when you get women together The energy and the love and then the awareness, it's brilliant.
I saw you speak at an event, Aoife, and you highlighted it was women taking more time for themselves.
Yes, this was a lady, we don't know who she is, but she sent us in a review saying she was 55, she was a nurse, a mother, a farmer, busy woman, saying that she realised she was spending more, you know, on the kids and the animals than she was in herself. And she told us that now it reminds her, she takes it every morning, and it reminds her that she has a worth, that she has that little ritual in the morning where it's her me time and she has a value. And I thought that was so moving, you know, and isn't it awful that women feel that they don't have value, that they're looking after everybody else, doing all the jobs, working hard, looking after the kids and whatnot, and not taking the time out to look after themselves. And having that little, you know, maybe even just 5 minutes in the morning for yourself, supporting your health. And then, you know, it's setting yourself up for the day. So when we hear from women like that, you know, it really makes everything worthwhile.
Yeah, I think that is so important, that 5 minutes to yourself, because often I feel in this health and wellness conversation, it's a big massive change that people think they need to undertake, a complete overhaul, whereas it can start as small as that. But it really speaks to the conversation, as Aoife just said there, of what women are taking on. And I hear it time and time again. We were told we could have it all, and instead we just started to do it all. So it is a big part of your message to tell women that they have a worth. Talk to me about the hard graft then. I've witnessed firsthand the amount that you're doing. Aoife, we've been laughing before we came to air about how often I've met you, because any event I'm at, you're there. You're not just behind the scenes pushing the pen. You're out. You're meeting people. You're sampling. You're at Wellfest all weekend. We're talking weekends, Sundays. How are you managing to make sure that you are drinking your own Kool-Aid, as they say, and not running yourself into the ground?
You know, it is really it is hard. You know, I think we're all probably working harder than we ever worked before. But it's so different when it's your own business and you're so passionate. We love what we do. And even when it gets really tough, so all the hard work, you know, it pays off. And I think our families are really supportive as well. I mean, I have two boys and a daughter. My daughter is all into this. You know, she's taking over the business in the future. Sorry, girls. So it's just a passion of ours.
And this is very much only the beginning. I know you got into Harrods, which is really exciting, but there's lots more still to come, isn't there?
There's a lot more to come. So, you know, that means, and we're not limiting ourselves to Ireland or the UK. And we don't want to, you know, we were given some advice at one point that a lot of businesses drown in the Atlantic on the way to the US. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We're being kind of very responsible at kind of as we approach all this, but we've big ambitions.
Brendan Courtney, when we were together recently, asked, was there ever going to be a Mr. Lee? But for now, you're looking after the sisterhood and you're doing a great job there. Where can people find you?
So we are online, sisterleelab.com. We are in Brown Thomas in Planet Beauty. We're in Morris Pharmacies, and we're in the UK, a few other sites as well. But in the UK, then we're in Harrods and we're in Whole Foods in Kensington.
Good stuff. Well, Aoife and Jennifer O'Connell and Aoife Matthews of Sisterly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna, Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.